Oh. T minus 28 days. That's when our 25th anniversary will be. That's when I'll step into a new role. I sat down and did some math and figured out that I've got to stand here before you between 1,000 and 1,200 sermons I've got to talk to you about. And going, man, what do you say for the last one? It's interesting. And so I went to Scripture. By the way, that's a good thing. Go back to the Bible. And I went back, and these are Jesus' last words, right? We talked about the Great Commission. That's when he sent his disciples out. But Acts 1:8, if you have your Bibles, open them up. Acts 1:8. This is so good. I hope you're excited. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's after that. Then you get to Acts 1:8. Here's what Jesus says in Acts 1:8. This is as he's ascending to heaven, he looks at his disciples, the 11 that had walked with him, right? You're down, Judas. And he says, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and even to the very ends of the earth. Jesus could have said any last words. He could have sent him out with any list of things they could have done. But this is what Jesus said. He said, you will be my witnesses. If you're a note taker, write that down, witnesses. Jesus didn't say, go out and argue with people. He didn't say, go out and make a great solid case. That's important. But that's not what he said. Jesus didn't say, go and have it all figured out so that you can parse the Hebrew and the Greek. Jesus didn't say, hey, go raise everybody and heal all the sick. I mean, that's part of it. But Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses. And promise, and everybody listen, I'm like, that's still our call today. Be witnesses. What's a witness? I Googled it, because that's where we get all of our good information. Everything on the internet is factual. That was sarcasm. Witness, a person who sees an event. Typically a crime take place. I find the typically a crime or an accident very interesting addition. But a person who sees an event. Okay, I want you to stop right here. Your job is to be a witness. And the question is really simple. What have you seen? What's God done in your life? Go ahead and click to the next slide if you don't mind. What have you seen? What have you seen God do? How have you seen God bring healing? Anybody ever been hopeless? Can we just get real for a second? Okay, three of you. Okay, four of you. Good. The four that put your hands up, just look to the rest of these people who have never experienced that, and they can give you wisdom. Actually, don't. They're liars. Or maybe it's shoulders. No, everybody's been there. You've been hopeless. Anybody ever deal with despair? Like, right, as a church, we need to start getting honest with this stuff. There's days where we don't have hope. There's days where there's despair. There's days where we skin our knees and we chip our teeth. Man, has anybody ever seen that healed? Has anybody ever seen that relationship where it's hopeless? And somehow it's healed. Or maybe, let's get even a little bit. Anybody ever hate somebody? Okay, good. Now we're getting on. Yeah. Man, anybody ever have a day where that person that you hate them? I don't know how you measure hate units, but like today I hate them 1,000, and somehow a miracle happens, and a month later I only hate them 999 hate units? You know, let's start celebrating these miracles. What have you seen? See, when we see that, we see God bringing healing and hope into a broken world. What have you seen? See, that's what the last thing Jesus says is, he says, you'll be my witnesses. What have you seen? And some of you are sitting here going, and maybe you're in that moment of despair, I ain't seen nothing. Yeah, suggestion. There is no seeing without Sabbath. Today I'm going to share four lessons that I've learned in my time being your pastor. One of them, there is no seeing without Sabbath. It is so easy to go. But man, when we pause, we can see. A friend of mine does this, and he says he has his, and this is super awkward because he's here, and I didn't know he was going to be here, but he has his phone set that it goes off, and it says, "What good have you done today? Man, what are those things that you got to Sabbath and remind yourself where you see the hope, where you see the healing, where you see the good, where you see Jesus?" See, when you see it, then you can say it. Jesus' last words to his disciples isn't, "You should be my witnesses. You can be my witnesses." Jesus' last words to his disciples is, "You will be my witnesses." What's that look like? And Jesus gets really specific, and this is the part that I want to unpack a little bit today. Jesus says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem." Everybody say Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Here's the map. We got it up here on the Jerusalem. If you look, it's in the brown area. See it? Jerusalem, right down there. Jerusalem, the important part. For them, this was literal. For us, it's a little bit of a metaphor. Jerusalem is where you are, if you're a note taker, where you are. That means you're already sharing space with these people, and where people are like you. They're culturally the same as you. Where is your Jerusalem? I'm amazed how many people think they flip this and they think, man, I'm supposed to witness first to the ends of the earth. No, Jesus says start in Jerusalem. Start where you are, where people are like you. Go ahead and click. Where's your Jerusalem? For me, the first time I started wrestling with this, it was 3734 Pineview Drive. Can see it right there just off of Trier. Where was my Jerusalem? Where were the places I went every single day? IPFW. I was finishing college at the time. Sorry. For those of you that don't know, IPFW was a campus that used to be in Fort Wayne before they dropped the I, back when they were the mighty mastodons. Now they're just... Sorry, I have feelings about this. Old Crown, the coffee shop that I went to. Man, these were my Jerusalems. These were the places where I went every day, and I went there because they felt like home and people were like me. Where's your Jerusalem? By the way, go ahead and click. If home court advantage isn't on that list, we got an issue. If your home isn't your Jerusalem, we got some stuff to take care of. How are you witnessing to those people who are right under your own roof? Our children's ministry here is stellar. I mean, we have these volunteers that come in here week after week after week and minister to the kids. They're amazing. Megan's leadership, amazing. Do not confuse an amazing children's ministry with your role. If you're a parent, are you witnessing to your kids? If you're married, witness to those your spouse. Hey, here's what God's doing in me. See, what's amazing in Jerusalem, the number one lesson that I've had to learn in Jerusalem is not to lie. It's really easy to lie at the ends of the earth, but man, you can't lie at home. You got to deal with the struggles. But here's the biggest lesson that you will learn in Jerusalem. And until you learn this lesson in Jerusalem, don't go on to Judea. And it's this, really simply. Oh, sorry. I'll go back one. This is such a great example. This is what it looks like. I want to give wheels, because sometimes in church we start thinking really theologically and heady. I was talking to a buddy of mine about finding Tove and what we're doing with Brother Dog, and this is the text he sent me. "Dude, my second grader just told me he's not very good at Tove because he hasn't learned to multiply yet." Okay, some of you get that, some of you don't. I asked if I could share it, and because
By the way, it's generally a good rule to ask to share before you share in public. It was pretty cool. He loves dogs, and I was telling him about Brother Dog. And I pulled up your website, and he asked what Tove was, and I did my best to explain it. And that's where the response came in. And check this out. Don't make this a big thing. No, and we got to talk about the power of multiplication and the much quicker growth that happens in multiplication than addition. It was just a cool opportunity. Are you taking those opportunities to witness in Jerusalem? To tell the narrative of a God who loves us, who washes us clean, to tell the narrative of hope and healing in a world that's dark. Are you starting in Jerusalem? And if you don't know what your Jerusalem is, then tune out. Take out a notepad, take out your phone, and just, where's my Jerusalem? Where am I where I already have healing? Jesus expands it from there. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, the lesson that you will always learn is it's all about you, and it's never been about you. It's this paradox that you have to wrestle with. Any parent ever really try to teach your kid something? None of you. I had this experience with Kate. I mean, as a pastor, as a youth director, I tried for so many years to teach Caitlin things about the Bible. The Old Testament events just get me popping. And then one night, she comes home from youth group, and she is all jazzed because she finally understood an Old Testament event, and the youth leader taught it in such a miraculous way. She literally comes home and she goes, "Dad, did you know this?" It's all about me. It's all about the investment of my kid, but it's also never about me. Quick aside, promise, I've heard one thing that I just want to call a spade a spade. I want to call this out here, because if you're thinking this, we gotta correct a little. A couple people have came up to me and they're like, "Man, I just don't know what's going on." You are promise. Oh, if you're thinking that, no. Yeah, I'm part of promise. It's been an honor to serve you, to serve with you for 22 years. But no, look to your right. Seriously, look to your right. See the back of that head? First off, can you just own that's a good looking back of a head? Especially those of us that are looking a little more like my haircut. No, that's promise. Promise is this team that works together to advance the gospel. You are promise. I am promise. Don't for one second think promise is ever one person. God is leading promise into new chapters, and man, I am so stoked. I got to be honest, I'm kind of depressed because promise is going into its best chapter. Where Scott is leading is stinking amazing. The things that I've heard, because I get to sit in an office with them and dream, and man, where God's leading promise is stellar. It's all about you, but it's never been about you. It's always been about Christ crucified, who shows us what love looks like. Where's your Jerusalem? And have you learned that lesson, that it's all about you, but it's never been about you? You'll be my witnesses. I gotta talk a little bit quicker here. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea. I'm Judea for them, for the disciples. You had to travel. Judea is that whole brown region. It's still a shared culture, but you have to travel. See, when we start witnessing, when we start sharing our faith, it's never been about having to go out of the way at first. No, you have to travel. And here's the thing you're always going to learn when you step from Jerusalem into Judea. Go ahead and click. By the way, where's your Judea? I didn't realize this until I moved houses. When we moved from 3734 over to Weeping Willow, all of a sudden, what used to be my Jerusalem became my Judea. That place that I used to just happen to stop by on the way to work was now a place I had to go out of the way to get to. See, what moving into Judea does is it teaches you how to be intentional about where you're choosing to witness. It makes you deal with stuff like, well, I'll just put up the slide. The best way to say it is it makes you realize that you've got to say yes and no. That when you say yes to being in one place, you've got to say no to being in every other place. You understand how that works, right? None of us can be in multiple places at once. Anybody try to be? Like, you look at your calendar and you forget drive time? It's like, yeah, I can make it from southwest to northeast in 0 minutes. And this is the lesson that needs to be learned when you're witnessing in Judea. And if you haven't learned this lesson, I pray that you will, that when you say yes to something, when you stop and go, God, where do you want me? You're going to have to say no to 100, 1,000 other things. And I call this the cinnamon roll rule. Do you all know the cinnamon roll rule? Okay, if you're note takers, write this down. The cinnamon roll rule is this. You can't make everybody happy. You're not a cinnamon roll. I want to repeat this. You can't make everybody happy. Let me put it a different way. You can't do everything for everybody all the time. God set up this witnessing so that it happens between people, and because of that, when you choose to be in one place, you can't be in another place. I can't tell you how many people, it took so long, I had people mad at me because I decided to office out of a coffee shop rather than be alone here in Schwartz Road on the early days. Man, I had somebody come in, they were livid. And I'm not going to tell you who it is because they're no longer with us. They passed on to the other side. That means they're dead. They didn't move. No, they were so mad because they stopped by the church to talk to me at 9 o'clock at night and I wasn't there. I'm not a cinnamon roll. Where's God calling you to witness? And some of you, you're doing a great job in Jerusalem and it's time to step out and go into Judea and learn that you won't make everybody happy all the time. See, God says, be my witnesses first in Jerusalem, and then in Judea, and then he goes on and says, in Samaria. Here's the deal. I want to just ask a question before we go there. Are you ready for Samaria? So many people want, and here's what I mean by that. When I say Samaria, when they went to Samaria, if we look on the map, you still have to travel, but Samaria and Judea from Jerusalem are about the same distance. To go from Jerusalem to the edge of Samaria, or to go from Jerusalem to the edge of Judea, it was the same traveling distance. That wasn't the thing that needs to be learned when you witness in Samaria. The thing you need to learn to witness in Samaria is people aren't like you. They speak a different language. They speak a different culture. Let me tell you when I learned Samaria. Go ahead and click. And I said, don't put this one online. See, I was really, really good at being a witness when I was on IPFW's campus. They all spoke the same language as me. They had the same cultural stuff. Man, when I went to seminary, it was a different culture. I had to learn a different language. And please do not mishear this. Somebody thought I was downing the seminary. No, this is an intentional move. The seminary here on campus, I am so thankful for the men that prepared me to be a pastor because they taught me this. You need to learn a different language if you're going to go into Samaria. You need to be able to go, hold on, I'm not quite comfortable with this. This is my comfort zone, but where God has called me to witness, I need to learn their language first. Are some of you ready for Samaria? You've kind of got bored witnessing in Jerusalem and Judea. You're going, it's time to step into another culture. When you do, you've got to learn another language, and it's hard, but it is so worth it. See, what Jesus says is, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. And here in a couple weeks, we'll talk about even to the ends of the earth. But I want to ask the question. Where's God calling you to be a witness in this season of your life? Where do you need to get more bold about just sharing? Here's what God's doing. To not be ashamed of that gospel. See, what I found, at least in American Christianity, we really like to put on that happy face. We really like, anybody else like to pretend you have it all together? Especially when you're falling apart. It's really hard, and I'm Pastor Scott. One of the things he's taught me is when he's spoken openly about mental health, what's it look like to go, hey, here's a struggle, and God's working through it somehow miraculously? So that's what it looks like to be a witness, to go, these things that are broken, God puts back together. There is hope and healing and life and love because of what Christ did on the cross. And he gives it to us as a free gift. To witness just means to say, hey, here's where I've seen it. Here's where I've seen God bring healing. I'd encourage you to just stop and go, hey, I'm looking forward. Here's where God's calling me to witness. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, thank you for bringing hope and healing and love and grace. God, thank you that we didn't have to earn it, that you gave it freely. Because God, I know I couldn't earn it. But man, you gave it anyway. I'm so thankful for that. And among us right now, there is so much that needs to be healed. And we got Jeff and Bruce and Mona and Pastor Doubleday and Daphne and Larry and Sherry and Terry and baby Bennett and Ken and Anna and Aaron and Aaron's whole family and Gail and Joshua and Larry and Rosie and Peter and Renee and David and Adeline and Brad and Adam have all said, hey, I got health issues that I need healed from. God, bring healing. And as you do, let us see it. Let us talk about it. Let us share where you've healed. And God, there's so many among us struggling with other unseen things, relationships that are just not where they're supposed to be, and maybe we've lost hope. God, bring hope. Bring healing. Even more, open our eyes to see where you're already working. God, thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for love. And hear us as we pray that perfect prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.